This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is always a pleasure when Jesse Ventura is kind enough and he joins the show. The former governor is here. Like all of our guests, he is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Before we get to politics, couple notes. With the DNC in Chicago, Dave Harrigan is playing bumper music from the city of Chicago. When Jesse Ventura thinks of Chicago and memories of his life, what stands out about your trips to Chicago?
Well, I have to laugh a second. What stands out to me the most was having to wrestle at the old Chicago Amphitheater.
Okay, yeah.
Which is in South Chicago. And I'll put it to you this way. It was wrestlers go there in fours.
Might not have been the safest area, you're suggesting?
Well, no, I'm just telling you, Chad, that when I used to wrestle there back in the 70s and 80s, if you went by the amphitheater, well, that's the place where the guy shot at the referee that time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you recall that, but I think Vern Gagne was wrestling Nick Bockwinkel for the title. I think so. I'm not sure of the matches, but somebody walked out. The amphitheater was located, like, down in a hole. So the upper level was ground level. When you walked out.
Sure, yeah.
It was like down in a big, built like that. Some guy walked up to the edge of the railing, pulled a gun out, fired three or four shots at ringside, mad at the referee.
Wow.
Missed the ref, hit two or three people at ringside, turned around, walked out the door, and I don't know if he ever got caught.
Little different security back in that day.
Well, it like I said, going to the amphitheater in Chicago in those days, wrestlers went in groups of four. As a wrestler, you wouldn't even go down there alone.
So we just had a weekend downtown where we had music after music after music. Two nights of Metallica, Green Day, Smashing Pumpkins, and then tonight at Target Field, you have Journey, Def Leppard, and Steve Miller. If Jesse Ventura has to identify the greatest and most memorable concert of his life, what do you tell us about?
I would probably tell you Led Zeppelin, 1972.
Where were you at?
San Diego Sports Arena.
Just Led Zeppelin? Did they have an opening act? What was
Led
it like?
Led Zeppelin did not use an opening act.
Yeah.
I saw Zeppelin twice. I saw him in 72 in San Diego. Well, I take that back. That is my most memorable, but it's a tie.
Okay.
I'll tell you the other one in a second. But Led Zeppelin never used an opening act. They would come out at about 8:15 or 8 o'clock, and they would play continuous till 11:15, which was 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Wow.
The only break they took was when John Bonham did the big long drum solo on Moby Dick.
And that was the break.
That's when the other three would leave the stage, probably go get a drink of water, whatever they wanted back there.
Right.
And then by the time John was done with his drum solo, 15 minutes later, they'd come back out. The other concert, to me, was July the 28th of 1970. And that San Diego again, that's where I saw Jimi Hendrix live.
Mm. Was it just Jimi?
Pardon me?
Was it just Jimi or anybody else?
I don't even remember. All I remember is Jimi.
That's a pretty good one to remember.
I can't even remember if anyone was with him. I don't know. I don't care. it was his third to last concert he ever did. Mm. He played San Diego, then he went up and did his hometown of Seattle, Washington. Then he flew across the pond and he did the big Isle of Wight concert, and then he died about a week or two later.
Those are legendary acts, and you're fortunate to see them.
Well, they're my era and my time, and, you know.
For sure. All right, let's turn to politics. You are one who has decried the two-party system decade after decade after decade. I'm with you. I wish we had 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 parties. I wish we didn't have the domination of these two parties. But recently, you came out and endorsed the Harris and Walz ticket. How come?
Well, because I met with Bobby Kennedy last winter. Bobby and I have been friends for over 20 years, whatever it's been. And I finished apparently second. The rumor had it that he chose Ms. Shanahan. And to me, it was a pick of money over votes. I couldn't bring him money, but I could bring him votes. But he made that choice. That's his choice. Now, as things have progressed forward at that time, of course, it was going to be Biden and Trump, which nobody in the country was truly looking forward to. You got two guys 80 years old going to lead our country, and nobody was very excited over it. Probably the Republicans more than the Democrats were excited for it because they were really pounding home the old age thing, and now they're the ones sitting looking in the mirror at who's really old. But point being, it then switched to Vice President Harris. And I'll tell you, Chad, I endorse them, and I'm not only do I support them on social issues, because to me, one of the huge issues is women's rights. And I stand with them 100% on the women's rights issue. I stand with them on the rights of the democracy and keeping our country intact the way it's been. Yes, it's a rough system. It has its failures, but it's certainly better than being fascist, and it's better than an autocracy or whatever that word is that they call it. And that's what I see out of the Republicans. You know, my problem with the Republicans, Chad, is this. January 6th, they're still out there telling us it was a normal day at the Capitol, and they've never taken responsibility for it. Our Capitol was attacked that day. 140 cops were injured that day, and they're supposed to be the law and order party. And then you follow it up, they carried a Confederate flag through my Capitol, and nobody in the Republican Party's ever apologized for it. A Confederate flag.
Well, and the thing about it, Jesse, and I'm 100% with you on January 6th, if the guy from Mar-a-Lago just would have went away, then they would have called it out. But they're all subservient to him. They follow him like they're a bunch of sheep. They make up excuses when he says repugnant, insulting things because they're afraid of him. They really are. They feel like...
Why?
Well, because
this guy's a coward, Chad.
Well...
I know him. This is a guy who leads from the rear, not the front. He is a coward. He proved that when he draft-dodged Vietnam back in my era. He was the typical, Chad, rich white boy.
Yep.
Rich white boys didn't have to go to Vietnam. I happen to be a white boy, but I'm from South Minneapolis. 6 or 7 of my friends, we all served in the military either because of the draft or volunteered to do so. And it irks me to no end that this guy was nothing but a white boy draft-dodging coward who had money and could buy his way out of it. And today he comes back talking like he's a patriot. And it holds true to his family. What's the matter with his two strapping sons doing a little military?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, let's stay with the military, then. And remind folks, the 38th governor of the state of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura, is with us. What have you thought about this conversation about Tim Walz, his time with the National Guard, when he left, and what J.D. Vance, who also served this country, what he has been saying about his own duty and also about Governor Walz's duty.
First and foremost, Vance, what Vance is saying is shameful. He's an embarrassment to himself and the United States Marine Corps, in my opinion. I served with a lot of Marines. I served with the 3rd Marine Division in Southeast Asia on Okinawa. We were the recon element. Marines have great respect for me, for other services. All the Marines I met are like that. And to question someone's military service is baloney. Just utter baloney. And in the case of Governor Walz, he had served 20 to 24 years. Here's the question that should be asked, Chad, coming from the military end of it. Why is the National Guard deploying to foreign countries in the first place? They're not to do that. You know why that happened? That happened because of George Bush and Dick Cheney going into the war in Iraq. They needed more bodies.
That's numbers.
They got in there.
Yeah, that's
they couldn't implement a draft. That would be political suicide. So what Bush did, he signed an executive order ordering National Guard. It's a good thing that I didn't seek re-election. Because had I been reelected, there would have been a major headbutting because I would have refused to send my National Guard to Iraq. And George Bush would have been forced to relieve me of my command as president over a governor. Can you imagine another guy who didn't do nothing in the service and he's going to relieve a Navy frogman of his command?
Could you see that changing in the future? What you're saying is that when you sign up for the National Guard, you can serve a number of very vital and important duties, but actually serving in combat is not one of them. Or do we still have the same
Chad,
numbers issue?
Chad, they're called the National Guard.
Yeah.
Now, they could serve in combat if the combat's here in America. They're here, the National Guard is here to protect our country inside our borders. It is not here, the Guard, to be sent over to the Middle East, to be sent over to all these exotic places. They're doing that in lieu of a draft, because nobody's got the guts to bring a draft back, and yet we want to be involved in these wars where you got to have one to support it, the war.
Last point or two with Jesse Ventura. It's 49 past 12. How is the THC business? How's the cannabis business faring?
Oh, doing great. You know, Ventura Farms, we're expanding. We're with Retro Bakery over in Brooklyn Center, Brooklyn Park. Here's the thing I want to get to, Chad. In fact, I'm glad you brought this up. I was going to go back to the state fair this year.
Oh, join us at the show.
Not.
Okay.
But now I am not, and I'll tell you why. Why does the state fair ban cannabis? The state fair, they allow alcohol to be drank on the fairgrounds. I mean, they've had the beer garden since I was in high school.
Yes, that's correct.
So you can go over there, get smashed on alcohol, go on a ride and throw up all over everybody. Because you've been drinking, that's perfectly fine.
That's correct.
You can also smoke cigarettes. They have 18 designated smoking places for tobacco, and yet they have banned cannabis. So I am not going to attend out of protest for the cannabis industry, and I urge all cannabis users, make it known. You're not going to the state fair either until they treat cannabis the same as they do alcohol.
Well, you know what, Jesse? I have to be out there for 7 days. I smoke a little bit of cannabis myself. Maybe I should stay right here on WCCO Radio. I will not go because I really don't want to go.
Well, good, Chad. Stand up with me.
Yeah.
Until cannabis is legal now, why would the state fair ban it?
They're overprotective. It's silly. They shouldn't be. Yeah, listen, here's the deal. We'll come pick you up. If the two of us want to smoke on the patio of WCCO Radio sometime next week, I'll do it with you.
I don't know if I'm... What will they do to us? Put us in jail?
Probably.
I don't want to go to jail.
I really don't either. Bad. Might get me out of a day at the fair, though, so it wouldn't be too bad. I got to go, my friend.
Okay.
Only the best with
your
business.
If you want to do the protest with me, I'm serious about it. I was going to go. I'm not going now. I'm protesting because they will not allow cannabis, and yet they allow beer and cigarettes.
Yeah, on this one, I better keep the gig. I agree with you 100%, but I sort of like that paycheck and the insurance coming in. But you're right. I agree with you 1,000%, and
well,
I'll bring it up again.
This is what you can do, Chad. You can be out there and talk about it.
I will. I will constantly. I promise you. All right, man.
There you go.
You know how these
Thank
commercials
you,
work. I got to fly. The 38th governor of the state of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura, here on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.